Welcome to the View Church Tailview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. If you have a testimony which you would like to share with us, please email us at info@viewchurch.co.za. We would love to hear from you. Or if you would like to contribute towards the ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving. You're listening to a message from guest speaker Innocent Matepo.
Okay, so this morning, in the time that we have together, I just want to talk about a people of destiny. We're living in times that are hard and difficult, and people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ are living in terrible times because things are changing so fast. You don't know which way to go, this way or that way. And sometimes God brings a word to just realign our thinking so that we're not taken by this or that, but we pursue what God wants for us. Because when we were created, it was not so that we were just created. God had a purpose. God is a God of purpose. He just doesn't do things for no reason. He has a purpose. But I see that in these days that we are living in, we can get so caught up in the troubles that we are going through. Because I'm going through terrible times, my whole life becomes fixed on making sure I make it from day to day. And I forget that there's a greater and a bigger picture that God has for my life. Sometimes I get so comfortable because I'm making it in life. Hey, I'm making it rain everywhere I go. And I'm making things happen because the mullah is coming in. Business is good. And my life becomes focused on good things, good life, and making it. And I forget that there's a bigger picture. When we speak about destiny, I'm not talking about fate. Remember, we are children of God. There's no fate in our lives. Fate is something that you have no control over, but my God didn't create me to be directed and controlled by fate. He created me with a purpose, and he gave me choice to choose him. When Adam and Eve were created, it was not a setup for them to fail. God gave them choices. If you do this, this is what will happen. If you go this way, this is what will happen. Abraham was a man of destiny, and Abraham had a choice when he heard the voice of God to say, no, I'm not moving from here. I've been here all my life. This is where my forefathers' graves are. I'm not leaving my graves. I hope you are not staying somewhere where God wants you to move and giving you a better option because you think there are graves that you want to look after. Because there are dead things that we hold on to and we forget the destiny that God has for us. But this morning, I hope God will liberate you. God will set you free. God will release you to get and start moving towards God's preferred future for you. Destiny depends on choices you make. It's not a foregone conclusion that you have no other way to go. You see, Paul was called by God as a man of destiny. When Ananias was sent to Paul, he was told, go and call Paul because I have a great work that I have called him for. Paul could have said no. He had a destiny that God had set for him, but he was going in the opposite direction. But by God's great providence, God comes into his life and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? It is difficult for you to kick against the gods. You are going against my will for your life. You can't continue that route, but I'm coming and calling you to a different way of life. This morning, somebody, I want you to listen. God is calling you to reconsider, recalculate, redirect your life, and start moving towards a destiny that God has for you. And I want us to quickly go through a story. I like reading long stories because I have found out, sad enough, that these days, we have lots of people that are biblically illiterate. You tell them about a name in the Bible and they think, okay, who's that? I've never seen them on TV. And because we, our lives are informed by TV. The other day, one of our guys opened the book of Obadiah, and people were saying, what? There's a book called Obadiah in the Bible? Yeah, there is. But I want to read about a man who was also a man of destiny. One of my favorite characters in the Bible is the man Moses. And I want us to read about his birth in Exodus chapter 2, from verse 1 to 10. So because I read faster than all of you, let me read for you. About this time, a man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She saw that he was a special baby and kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she got a basket made of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. She put the baby in the basket and laid it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. The baby's sister then stood at a distance, watching to see what would happen to him. Soon, Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, and her attendants walked along the river bank. When the princess saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it for her. When the princess opened it, she saw the baby. The little boy was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then the baby's sister approached the princess. Should I go and find one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? She asked. Yes, do, the princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Take this baby and nurse him for me. The princess told the baby's mother, I will pay you for your help. So the woman took her baby home and nursed him. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and its power and its efficacy and its ability to change, direct, and show us your heart. This morning, I pray that my mouth will be your instrument to show your heart to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As I've mentioned before, I want to tell you that your story, the story of your life, begins even before you are born. We're talking about a God who says, I determine the end before the beginning, but you are involved in what happens in the process. He gets you involved in the process because he values you so much, he loves you so much, that he wants you to be free enough to make choices for or against him. As you are seated right there, you can leave this room and go back and continue life as before, business as usual. But you can change today and say, I'm not going to continue with business as usual because I have a destiny to fulfill. You see, we are a people of destiny, a God-designed destiny. We cannot continue to live as ordinary people. I refuse to be ordinary. You should refuse to be ordinary. You are not ordinary. The fact that you're carrying with you the power of God, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, does make you not an ordinary person. You're not an ordinary person. You are not an ordinary man. When you wake up in the morning to go to work, you are not just an ordinary worker. You are carrying with you a part of who God is. The very nature of God is in you. So your destiny is a God destiny. Oh, I'm just a cleaner. There will be cleaners, yes, but you are not just a cleaner. You are a cleaner with a destiny that was designed by God. I'm just a business person. Listen, you are the representative to someone of who Jesus would be if he was a business person. You are carrying with you the Jesus that people want to see. Oh, I'm just a student. If Jesus were a student, people would see how he would behave through your behavior. Because you are a person of destiny. I will show you just now what the Bible says. As you are seated right there, you are carrying with you not just your destiny, you are carrying the destiny of families. You are carrying the destiny of nations. And you look at yourself and say, me, what can I do? Just look at what God did with somebody. I want to move you to just look at Psalm 139 verse 16. Look at what God does. He says, the psalmist says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You are so important that your life, your record, the record of your life was recorded in books. The Bible tells me that at the end of time, books will be opened so that God will compare what he wrote about you and how you lived. Some of us are going to be surprised that what God wrote about us, that he had intended for us, we didn't live by it because you have a choice. God has recorded things that are good for you, that are the best for you, that are the very preferred future for you, but you can choose to live in a divergent direction. Not only that, God, not only do we see that the Bible says that when he speaks to Jeremiah, he says to Jeremiah, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. It was not only to Jeremiah that he was speaking. This is written for us to know that we were also formed in, before we were formed in our mother's wombs, God already knew that you would be here. Not only did he know, he also wrote down what would be the best for you. How do I know? Because God made provision for your life to be full, to have everything it needs to fulfill the things that he has for you. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So your life is full of what God wants it to be because God has given you all the tools you will ever need to fulfill the works that he has prepared for you. I have very few people that believe me. I wish somebody in this church believed me, that you have everything you need to fulfill God's destiny for your life. Quit looking at somebody else and thinking, if only I had what he has. If only I could have what she has, then I'd be able to do what I'm supposed to do. No, God has given you everything you need. Do you need a longer nose than you have? God has given you the one that you have to fulfill what you have. You don't need a lighter skin to be able to do what God, whatever you have is what God knows you need to fulfill. He says his divine power has given us everything. Your destiny does not depend on things that you have or things that you do not have. Because what you do not have is less important than what you do with what you have. Can I say that to you again? What you do not have is less important than what you do with what you do have. This destiny is provided for. You know, people are asking God, Father, will you give me this? Father, can I do this? Father, give me this. And God is saying, In fact, as I'm speaking right now, I think I'll change my message for this evening. I want to talk about that. There are people who are praying to God, asking for things that God doesn't want them to have because they will take you away from the desired destiny of God. When did you last thank God for the trial that came into your life because it was meant to shape you and mold you and bring you into alignment with God's destiny? Sometimes you need to just say, hallelujah, praise God for this test. In Romans chapter 8 verse 19, it says, for creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. When are the children of God, the people who walk and move as a people of destiny, when are we going to be revealed? When is the world going to see what children of God really look like? The world is waiting. They are looking for the prophets of God to come and declare the goodness of God, not in church, but everywhere where we stand. And the people who don't know God are standing in church, and that's where we declare. Out there, that's where people want to know if you're a person of destiny or not. Because that's where you declare who you are and God's glory is seen in you. In Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Can I tell you that your destiny is made up of two lines of the track that you are running in? You see, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, let us run this race with endurance. It's talking about, therefore, because we have a great crowd of witnesses, we need to run this race with endurance. But to run this race, you must keep to your track. You lay aside every sin and weight that hinders you, and you focus on Jesus. The trick of winning this race is not beating your neighbor. The trick of winning this race is laying aside the weights that hinder you and focus on Jesus Christ. Focus on him, because he's the champion that you want to match. Because he's the one who is the author and the finisher of this race. And so, people, you know, the Bible, sometimes we don't know. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I wish the Bible had said, my people perish for lack of prayer. But it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And what is it that we don't know? We don't know what God wants of us. We don't know what God wants from us. We think God wants, no, it's not lack of knowledge of maths or science. Lack of knowledge of what God wants. People are praying, God, what do you want? God has made it plain and clear. This is what he wants of you. Your track is made of two lines. One represents your universal destiny. What is the universal destiny? I've just read it from Romans 8:29. Everyone who believes in Christ, we have the same universal destiny, that we should be conformed, that we should become like the Son of God. That's what God has called you for. He's called you to, you have been predestined to become like the Son of God. And then there is your unique destiny. Everyone has the universal destiny. That's for all of us. Every day you wake up in the morning, you think, what am I going to do today? I'm going to be more like Christ. I'm going to be conformed to Christ. I'm going to look like Christ. But then your unique destiny is the destiny that is described in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So there are good works that God planned that will be done only by you. You don't need a prophet to tell you what those good works are. The Bible tells me, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it as unto the Lord. It's not a new career that you need. The good works you're supposed to do, God designs them wherever you are. You are supposed to do the good works of God. As long as you are in tune with the Spirit of God, you're going to see. Okay, let's look at this person that we were looking at, because I think we're getting distracted a bit. Maybe I'm the one getting distracted, don't you think so? Looking at a man like Moses. Moses is born into a time where things were difficult. At this time when we read in the Bible, we're just coming into a period where Israel has been in captivity, and because of the captivity, they've been crying out to God. And God, because he's a great God, he's preparing to deliver Israel out of their bondage. How does he do that? The Bible starts by telling us that a Levite man and a Levite, he marries a Levite woman. In fact, if you read the history, this Levite man, his name is Amram, he actually marries Jochebed, who is his aunt. Okay, let me spare you the details. Some of you are going to go out of here just remembering that part. Okay. And all you will say out of this message, sis, okay. Was a terrible time, and Moses is getting born into this terrible time where Pharaoh is looking at a way of controlling the Israelites by killing all their male children. Can I tell you that there is actually an evil world that is out there? And God is raising a people of destiny to confront evil. We can't run away from evil. We have to confront evil. The Bible gives me an assurance that evil shall not prevail over you. Evil cannot prevail over good. We are the soldiers of good. And therefore God is raising us up for a time such as this, a time of fighting against evil. If we keep our silence at this hour, God will give us the same message that Esther was given by her uncle. If you keep silent at this time, do not think that you will escape. For you were born for such a time as this. This is the generation where you are supposed to make history with God. Israel needed a deliverer. God makes a plan. The Levite men and the Levite woman didn't know what they were carrying. They didn't know they were carrying the destiny of a whole nation. Can I ask children of God to just be aware that every action you take actually is part of working with God or working against God's destiny? This guy just thought, okay, I found my a lovely aunt that I'm going to marry. And we're just going to do life. But God was planning something big. You're looking at yourself right now and you think, oh, just routine. I wake up every day. I go to work. I go to school. I do this and I do that. It's routine. No, it's working into God's destiny. For this is the same God who says, who is recorded in the book of Romans chapter 8, 28, that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. All things are working together. The things that you think are terrible, the things that you think are good, the things that are coming your way, they are working together to create God's preferred destiny. Can I tell you that we are living in a world that is trying to tell us to close our eyes to evil? Do you know that this is what the world is telling us today? You see, postmodernism tells us there is no evil, there's no good. Everything is relative. And that's a lie. Evil exists. Can I tell you, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Amen. Today you can say, I'm going to be wise or I'm going to be a fool. But the Bible says, don't live like a fool. Be wise. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 4, it tells us that evil is alive and well. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Can I tell you guys, these are the last days? Well, people don't want to hear that message. We used to hear it a long time ago. These days, people don't want to talk about last days. Okay, tell me about something that is going to heal me now. Give me something that will take my pain away now. Don't talk to me about last days. Don't talk to me about the future. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. But Daniel 11:32 says, but the people who are spiritually mature and know their God will display strength and take action to resist that. Evil is going to be overcome. But not only was Moses sent as a way of God fighting against evil, but Moses himself was sent to change legacies. You are a person of destiny. God is releasing you into the world to change legacies. Your family legacy is going to change because of you. Your family has always been known to be those, when people describe you, you know those ones, the poor ones. You know those ones that are always fighting. You know those ones that never make progress in this. You know those ones. Every negative thing that can be said has been said about your family. But you are here. And I'm telling you, because you are a person of destiny, God is going to change the legacy of your family because you believed him enough. You see, when Moses is born, he is born into the tribe of Levi. Levi himself had lived under his father's curse. If you read in the book of Genesis chapter 49, here is their father Jacob pronouncing a curse on them. He says, Simeon and Levi are two of a kind. Their weapons are instruments of violence. May I never join in their meetings. May I never be a party to their plans. For in their anger, they murdered men and they crippled oxen just for sport. A curse on their anger, for it is fierce. A curse on their wrath, for it is cruel. I will scatter them among the descendants of Jacob. I will disperse them throughout Israel. So Levi is starting, Moses is starting from a tribe that is operating under a curse. But when Moses is born, the curse is broken. Can I tell you that because you know Jesus Christ, the curse over your life, the curse over your family, the curse over your tribe, the curse over your people is broken. You see, Colossians tells me that every handwriting of ordinances that were written against you, he wiped them off. There is no curse that can operate against you now. And there's no curse that can overtake your family as long as you know the God that you stand with. Amen. In the book of Psalm 145 verse 4, it says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty works. I'm looking at somebody who is going to change legacies. Moses is a legacy changer. He is born and the devil tries to assassinate him right from the beginning. You see, the devil knows the people of destiny. You are looking at yourself and you think my life is going to end up with nothing. It looks like everything I touch fails. It looks like everything I try doesn't work. Even if I progress to this level, there's just this spirit that just brings failure at the door of success. There's that spirit that just attacks me just when I think it's about to happen. Can I tell you that Moses was born in worse circumstances, but still God used him to change the legacy of his family? I hope somebody believes me enough this morning to start acting and start believing God and start walking and stop dropping your shoulders and raise yourself up, stand upright and say, the God that I walk with is going to change the direction and history of my family. From today, my life is not going to be the same. I'm going to be different. I'm going to walk in the power of what he has declared. Can we start refusing to be identified with worldly mindsets? Be full of the word of God. Moses could have chosen to be conformed, to become like the Egyptian prince that he was raised up to be. You know, when he was born, Satan thought this, I'm going to kill this one because this is a person of destiny. Some of you are looking at your troubles and you don't know that this is a mark of destiny on your life. Your troubles are a mark that the enemy is not happy with you. He knows that if he lets you loose, you're going to cause havoc in his kingdom. And you are looking at it and you think, wow, why is God abandoning me? Moses could have said, okay, this is wrong. How can I be born and in a time where all male children are supposed to be killed? He's put in the river. The Nile River is not a safe place, by the way. Some of the world's 10 most deadly snakes are found around the Nile River. The Nile River has got some of the largest crocodiles in the world. This is where Moses was put. Not only that, there are some very scary mosquitoes there with lots of diseases. And that's where they put Moses. So every place, you see, they put him in the Nile. There was also danger that he could drown. And you think God is, you say, God, I love God. You say, I have a young brother, he's also a preacher, and he always says the statement, God is the greatest manipulator. God manipulates any situation for his glory because he's that good. I mean, he's just good, man. Some of you listen to the clever arguments of these atheists and they tell you all these things that sound very reasonable. They are nothing. The Bible tells me that their wisdom is like foolishness, for God's foolishness is far above them. God saves. This Nile is an instrument of death, but God uses it to become an instrument of life. I don't know any other God like that. Listen, you are a person of destiny. Your enemies are going to come like the princess. Pharaoh's daughter comes in and looks at this baby and says, this is a Hebrew child. It's not like she confused him and thought, okay, this could be an Egyptian child. No, she knew it was a Hebrew child. But God changed things around. Okay, you are the enemy. Let me use the enemy to do my will. Do you think it was coincidence for this woman to be coming to the river at that time? This was a God setup. God sets her up. She goes to the river at that particular moment because that's what God wants her to do, and she thinks she is in control. I'm the princess. I'm in control. I do what I want when I want. You don't know the God who is behind the Israelites. Listen, she looks at this baby. The Bible says she felt sorry for him. You think that was just normal compassion? This was God working things, turning things around so that the things that are supposed to swallow you become your promotion. Listen, because God is a God who's so clever, he gives this boy's sister the wisdom to stay close by. And she's watching. As she is watching, God gives her the wisdom, because Miriam is also a person of destiny. She is watching and she sees, okay, here is the princess. It looks like God has moved her heart. What can I do? Now, princess, do you want me to look for a mother for this baby? And the princess, because she doesn't know, she thinks she's in control. She doesn't know God is in control. Because God is the one who covers us, guys. We have this covering over us. We are protected. We are covered. She says, go look for the mother. You know, this baby was supposed to be killed. But in the end, the mother is being paid to look after him. Wow. I don't know what your God does for you, but my God does miracles like this every time. He's the great God. He's our covering. I won't be able to finish this message. I was saying to Chris, you know, I've got a series of 5 weeks that I need to present in 30 minutes. But the last thing I want to tell you this morning, just allow me to tell you this. You see, God has set you up for success. God never sets anyone up for failure. He loves you so much. He would never allow himself to look at you. He is so patient with you. He loves you so, so much. He wants to do you good. You see, when David says to the people, is there anyone of Jonathan's house that I can do good to them? This is the heart of God showing in David. But can I ask you, you see, when we are running this race of destiny, destiny does not get determined and finished in a day. This is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Can I ask you to commit to the processes of God? Because when you go through things, God says, when you go through the fires, I will be with you. When you go through the floods, they will not overwhelm you, because I will be with you. I will walk with you. This God, can you allow him to take you through the processes? When things are tough and difficult, can you allow him to mold you? The problem with us as Christians, we are so event-driven. We want everything to be an event. We want our problems to go in an event. You want to come to the front and I lay hands on you, your troubles go, and you go back on doing whatever you are. God wants to do a process in your life that is going to change you, because sometimes we get these events that help us in an instant, but because our hearts are not changed, tomorrow we are back to a square one. Commit to the process, because there is value in that process. There is a reason why God wants you to grow to a certain level. Can I tell you, some of you are not poor because God doesn't want you to be rich, but because God knows once you get rich, you will forget him. Once he gives you what you are praying for, that will be the end of your faith. Commit to the process. Can you just allow me this moment? Let's stand on our feet. First Peter chapter 2 verse 9, we know this verse. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a chosen people. You are a peculiar person. You are not who the world says you are. You are who God says you are, because he knows your destiny. He prepared works for you. You are a masterpiece. You are not just a broken pot, but you are a masterpiece in the hands of the master. He is molding you for a select and peculiar destiny that is going to bring and shock the whole world and say, what? We thought this was a waste of breath, but look at what God has done. Hallelujah. Look at God. You know, my church is about 70% students, so we use hashtags a lot. So hashtag LAG, hashtag look at God. He's a great God. So this morning I want to allow you to just take a few seconds, because I'm over my time. Thank you for being so gracious. Can you just take a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds, to think about this and say, Lord, realign me with your destiny. Realign me with the destiny you have for me. Touch my heart so that my desires and your desires come together, and that my focus is not on my neighbor, is not on things, but my focus fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. This morning you have an opportunity. You see, when you pray to God, if your heart is praying to God, God hears you. Don't make God's word impotent by having your heart in another place and your mouth saying other things. Make your heart and your mouth say the same thing and say, God, realign me this morning.
Thanks for listening to this week's View Church podcast.